Welcome back to Ask the Pastor. And once again, my name is Brother Godson Uba, and with us is still Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
Shalom and shalom, Brother Ebuka.
Okay, we already have question, and this question is coming in from Brother Tony from Jalingo, Nigeria. It says, shalom, my brother and pastor. We say shalom to you, Brother Tony. More grace and anointing. We say amen to that. Sir, is the voice of the archangel and the trump of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, before or after the rapture? That's question number one.
The voice of the archangel. So let's look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4.
4, yes.
Verse 16.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
One is first with a shout.
With the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise.
So, what's
first,
the question?
Whether it comes before the rapture or after the rapture?
He's saying that when that takes place, then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now.
Okay.
Then, verse 17 is the rapture.
Yes. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. All right. So. That answers question one, Brother Tony from Jaligo. Okay, we have question two. Says, is the archangel a man, as in the angel messengers of the seven church ages? He's trying to ask, comparing since the seven church age messengers, the angel messengers of the seven church ages are men. Does it also refer to the archangel? That's his question.
The archangel voice. Maybe you should ask, which is the archangel? That the archangel is the angel we see in Revelation chapter 10.
Verse 1.
From verse 1 to verse 6.
Okay. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot.
So the word there is mighty angel.
Yeah.
That is the word used there, archangel. Yeah, it says mighty angel. Now, this is not just any messenger of God, any minister, any star messenger. Okay. This is Christ himself. See the description again. Read that verse 1 again.
Okay. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven.
Yes.
Clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Now, if you go to chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, from verse 12.
And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
Who is that?
It's Christ Jesus.
Now, if you go to the transfiguration in Matthew 17.
Okay. Matthew 17.
From verse 1.
From verse 1. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light.
So, who was that? Is that the same description?
Yes.
So, he is the archangel that...
you see Revelation 10.
Revelation chapter 10. He had in his hand, a little book open. He set his right foot, that's verse 2.
Yes. Set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. In verse 3, and cried with a loud voice as when
the
lion
roared. That is the voice of the archangel. Now, what is he saying?
And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
So, what he's actually saying is that the voice of the archangel produces the ministry of the seven thunders. So, that is the seven thunders with sound. You know, at the voice of the archangel.
Okay.
So, and that is the voice, the ministry for the dead in Christ, as I've explained in several of my messages.
Okay.
Yes.
Question number three from Brother Tony from Jalingo. The Bible said God is a spirit. What does Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah 1 verse 14 and Jeremiah 9 verse 9 mean? Does he have a soul since God is a spirit?
Isaiah what?
Isaiah chapter 1 verse 14.
What does it say?
It says, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hated. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Then Jeremiah.
What he's just saying there is his heart, his mind, you know, the usage that you have to. It speaks in the language of a man for you to understand how he feels. The same way man feels when you're unhappy over something, that is the same way God feels. And remember too that if we are created in the image of God, so our makeup is his makeup too. We are spirit beings. Okay. I think that answers the question.
All right. So question four for Brother Tony from Jalingo says, what does Paul mean by robbing other churches to serve others, as we see in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 8?
He was collecting offering from one church and then giving it to others. That, nothing more than that.
Okay. All right.
The blessing that should be for one church is giving it to the others.
Okay. All right. God bless you, Brother Tony from Jalingo. God bless you. All right. We have more questions coming in. And this says, Shalom, sir. I am Pastor Taye Ajala from Bride Assembly, Erioke.
In Jesus' name, Bride Assembly,
Erioke, Osun State, Nigeria. Please, sir, I want to know if I am wrong to place Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Instead of Pastor William Braham, in the light of this Bible text, that is Matthew 13:52, Mark 13:35, John 14:2, Hebrews 3:1-6. I say thank you, sir.
Let's look at those scriptures one after the other. That is the scribe now. He's talking about the scribe in that verse. So let's get it. Let's get the scriptures. Mark. Go to Mark 13:35.
Okay. And it says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the crawling, or in the morning.
Then the next verse, the next scripture.
John 14. Okay, John 14 verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
The next scripture.
Hebrews 3:1-6.
What does it say?
And okay, that's the last scripture. Okay, Hebrews 3, verse 1 to 6 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house had more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all
his house. Let's go back now to the main question.
Matthew 13, verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old.
I don't know how
placing William Braham.
I don't know how those scriptures you are talking about. I don't know how you relate that scripture to this other. Maybe you have to call and maybe you have to explain to us how those scriptures fit into this. Yes. He said, therefore, every scribe, that is a teacher, a scholar, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We place the ministry of perfection because about further revelation, things that have been revealed and things that will continually be revealed. and we must be able to balance it. We try to make placement. Yeah, we've spoken before that scripture is the scripture for William and O'Brien. Mm-hmm. I have myself echoed it. Mm-hmm. It's that scripture is actually the ministry for the fivefold.
Okay.
The fivefold ministry.
Okay.
The ministry for perfection.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Pastor Jala from Osun State. God bless you. So we have other questions coming in. And this is, good evening. This is from Brother Dennis from Cameroon. Says, sir, I thank God for coming across your messages and for the grace that he has bestowed upon your life. Sir, you said in one of your messages that it was fornication that Eve had with the serpent. My question is, why did God have to punish Adam for the sin that Eve committed? Thank you, sir. Brother Dennis from Cameroon.
Well, first and foremost, there are two things we learn from that. That's a very good question.
Okay.
First and foremost, the commandment was given. When the commandment was given, it was given to both of them. They should not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day they eat of it, that day they shall die. Now, under the influence and conviction of Eve, Adam also ate.
Yes.
So he joined Eve to disobey.
Okay.
So he too faced his punishment. Okay. That is clear. But we go down again because Apostle Paul mentioned it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and verse 14.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. For Adam was first formed, then Eve.
Now, verse 14 is my emphasis.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
And yet, the question is then, why was he also punished? Yes. That is the first reason. He identified with her.
Okay.
And Adam is a type of Christ.
Okay.
Adam loved his wife.
Yes.
And he was ready to die, follow her and die to save her.
Yes, sir.
To be with her.
Yes, sir.
A type of Christ that was not guilty of the sin of the world. But he identified with sin to be able to save the bride, his bride,
Amen.
That was gotten from his side.
Mm.
For we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Apostle Paul said it is a mystery.
Mm.
But it is about Christ and his church in Ephesians chapter 5. Mm. So you have to understand that from this 2 point, God was teaching us a lesson there.
Okay.
And Adam would have been a man and refused to partake, but for the love he has for her, if not, he will be without wife. It is well. And remember that in Deuteronomy chapter 24, remember, we really have to comb this thing. These things are there. The laws are there naturally. From verse 1.
Deuteronomy 24 from verse 1 says, when a man taketh a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house. Or if the latter husband die, we took her to be his wife.
What happened?
Her former husband, we sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife.
Mm-hmm.
After that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
So you can see that. That is why Christ in Matthew 19 says that you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication.
Mm-hmm.
So it means Adam was not supposed to have her back because she had gone and met with another man. And he knew. He was supposed to put her away. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay then.
All right. God bless you. So we have more questions coming in. Shalom, sir. My question is this. As a minister in your church, you have women coming to church with trousers and earrings and attachments. And as a pastor who knows the spiritual meaning of it, sir, what will such a pastor do? Will he be given a harsh attack and chase them? Or will he just show them the stand point of the stand of it scripturally and then leave them to the Holy Ghost to change them? And also, what if after some time they didn't change? What will the pastor still do? Okay. Question two, is palming of the hair onto a woman a sin? And this is God's way from Imo State, Nigeria.
First scripture is the church that started is supposed to have a standard. Now, there are things you believe. We started this ministry. It was not anyhow come ministry. From beginning, what I believe is what I was preaching. It's not about compromising it. This is what I believe. I don't believe that women should be ordained into the ministry. I don't believe that women should wear trousers to come to church. That is my stand. So you can't come. If you come, we'll tell you, go and change. And if you go, you don't come back. Simple, this is not your address. Look for where they wear trousers and attend. Two cannot work together except they are agreed. I don't know why it should be any problem. It shouldn't be any problem at all. And it can only be a problem if you were tolerating them before you saw the truth. Now that you have seen the truth, now it will become, when you have seen the truth, it becomes a test of your sincerity. Because you risk the church breaking and then being empty. Because it may be a group of people who believe the gospel in that way. That's why they were coming to you. So you should be sincere enough to stand your ground and say, you either do it or you go. I leave you people here. And you people can get yourself another pastor. And I leave. I'm going to start afresh somewhere now that I've known the truth. But certainly, yes, we didn't want to be a little bit too harsh initially to certain areas, especially with regard to wearing of earring. We were tolerating some. Okay, we believe it's okay. Maybe eventually they will drop it. But when I discovered that after they will come, they will not change, I said, no, then let me take the same stand as I take for trousers. And I told them, please, if you wear trousers, don't enter this church. From now on, if you wear a ring, don't enter this church. Now, I don't care, you may remove it outside and come in. If after you go and wear it, well, I have made my stand known to you. I mean, you're looking at a ring. What are fornicators that you preach? That's the one you see. That is what you know. You preach fornication. There are people sitting down there in the church. When you finish, they're going back to continue. So, but at least they're not fornicating inside the church. So, you have made your point clear. I think that shouldn't be a problem at all. I know of pastors that have done that. More than half of the church left. But they came and started again. And the right crowd began to come. God bless you.
All right.
And palming of hair is this sin. Whatever you do to your hair, the motive is what God will judge. You want to make your hair to look like the world, God will judge you. That is fornication, spiritual fornication. He said, James said, adulterers or fornicators, you know, you are fornicating with the world. The fashions of this world is enmity with God. So, if you are doing it to look like some Hollywood or Nollywood stars, they advertise themselves on the television or their movies, that is wrong. You want to look like the people in your school, in your environment, you want to belong, that's wrong. So why are you palming your hair? To achieve what? It's what God will judge. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Okay. We have more questions. Okay. We have a call. This is coming from Brother Chidi from Germany. Brother Chidi, we say shalom to you, and God bless you.
Hello. Shalom. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
I thank you, sir, for the work you have been doing in the house of God. May God bless you and bless the assembly in general.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Chidi.
I have a question. Now, the question is, pertaining to what the brother asked before some minutes ago.
Okay.
My question is, in the time of Moses, when he committed crime, God will choose to punish Israelites, and many Israelites will die. Why? And is it still happening today? Such things, not only from parents or family, but when a king or a ruler commits something, like in the time of Moses, then the people will die. Shalom, sir. God bless.
What they are saying is, in the time of Moses, okay, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I want to understand again that in the time of Moses, that
yes, sir.
That when who commits sin, who?
Moses, when he disobeyed, a lot of Israelites will die in many cases. It happened in many cases.
Can you give me one instance?
I don't have it here now, but I know of it.
I don't know of any that Moses committed and the people paid for it. But I do know that when the people commit, Moses will always go to intercede for them. So that's why I say I don't know which one. Maybe you know one I don't know.
Okay, so I will look for it. And then.
But it is David that I know. Mm. And it is David that I know that he was told not to conduct census of the children of Israel, and he did, and God was angry, and about 70,000 Israelites died one day in the plague. So the question is, why will God punish Israel, not David?
Yes, sir. And is this still happening today?
No, it is not happening today because we are under a different law now. We are under a different law now. The soul that sinneth shall die. Everybody will pay for his own sin now. But there was a reason why he allowed it to happen at that time. You know, there is certainly a reason. The purpose of God also, you know, must not be defeated by the actions of someone like that. David was under the influence of a spirit when that happened. And God is using it to teach us, you know, certain lessons there. And I know the narration in the Bible, you know, looks contradictory. One says Satan moved him. Another one says God did that. And God cannot tempt a human being with evil. It is a matter of language there that as it is put in there. So we are supposed to learn, and it is very humiliating to a king to see his subjects dying like that. There's no punishment greater than that. To be alive, and for a man to be alive and see his children dying, you know, it's very painful. So it was another way of punishing David himself. God bless you, Brother Chidi. Is he still on there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. God bless you, Brother Chidi from Germany. We do appreciate your question. All right, we have other questions coming in. And says, Shalom, Pastor Moses. Good evening. My question is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But in Hebrews 6, verse 2, he talks about baptism. Sir, more light. I have not really, caught it. My name is Kunde from Cameroon, Yaoundé. More grace.
We have one baptism. Mm-hmm. What he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 6, where you're talking about, let's move to, it's a doctrine of baptism. Mm-hmm. Let's move to perfection, maturity. It's talking about people arguing about the different types of baptisms. Of course, we have baptism unto repentance. We have baptism for remission of sins. We have baptism under the law. We have baptism under grace for remission of sin. And we have baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then they all need explanation with different understanding. And that's why they were busy arguing themselves about. And Apostle Paul is saying, let's establish, let's move forward. These are just kindergarten teaching. It's milk. Let's move forward to maturity, to perfection. But he said, we'll still come back to that if the need be. Mm. But there's need to move forward, go beyond water baptism and move on to perfection.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Kunde from Cameroon. I have this question here that was, the brother got my number and sent it to me. It says, please, sir, this is Brother John Avo from Ghana. It says, please, sir, in marriage, we say a believer must marry a believer. And he says, I agree. But my question is, who constitutes a believer?
Who constitutes a believer?
Yes. Does it include a denominational believer? Like, I ask because I have come to realize that revelation, as we say, is progressive, and that at every point in time, people know and believe God differently. And secondly, in the end time message, we have different levels and types of beliefs. We have the thunder and non-thunder believers. There is a hair covering versus no hair covering believers among others. In Ghana, each of these sets see the others as lost, as unbelievers, and as hell candidates, giving no room for association, fellowship, or marriage with the other. Meanwhile, none of these groups have large gatherings enough for every member to be able to find the right partner for marriage. Hence, it is becoming very, very difficult for young brothers and sisters who are ripe for marriage to get partners within their local fellowships. It is even more difficult to get a partner from other end-time message churches, especially those who have different beliefs. So, Pastor Moses Alu, please clarify me, who is a believer and who can marry who in Christian faith, with special regards to the fragmentation in the end-time message? Brother John from Ghana.
Quickly, that is the estate that Satan has reduced us to.
Mm.
That is the estate. Got us fragmented into the various fragments that we are that exist today, holding on to the same Bible known as today denominations. Then again, coming to the ministry of William Branham, the same thing the generality of the Christians do with the Bible and the doctrines in the Bible, the same thing are the followers of that ministry enter another confusion with what they understand from the quotes. Now, the question is very easy to answer.
Okay.
What constitutes
a believer?
What constitutes a believer to me may be unbeliever to you, depending on where you stand. Two cannot walk together except they agree.
Amen.
You are a man, you're going to marry. The first consideration is the faith. So, if I'm going to marry a wife that does not believe what I believe, how can we flow together spiritually? Now, but you are now bringing the other side of it. Now, the thing that you believe, you are very few, and there is no woman there that you can marry. So, what do you do? That is, you know, where we come in now. I say it is satanic. What Satan has got us into. But by way of answering your question, if you don't believe what I believe, you are an unbeliever to me. Simple. God bless you.
All right, God bless you and God bless you.
But how will you pick a wife? Now, for what you believe, there are not much women that believe it. So, continue to live a life of celibacy. Because what you believe, you have shrinked it. So, you are a victim of your own faith. May God deliver you.
Amen. Amen.
Because what you are actually standing for and fighting over it, you have fallen a victim of it. That is what you are suffering from. May God deliver you first from that bondage you entered by what you believe. The fact that, listen, in Revelation chapter 7, there were multitude, multitude that were standing before the throne of God with white. They are believers. They are countable. All the little flock thing, you are deceiving yourselves. It's just Satan that went to put that. You enter the trap and cage yourself. Now, you're a victim of your faith. By my presentation of the message, In fact, we have too many sisters here. Yeah. We have too many sisters here. Mm. In fact, we don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Because we are not caged by what we believe.
Yeah.
What we believe is the true Christianity.
Yeah.
We have no quote anywhere other than the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And what we're looking for is one that has the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And if you have the Holy Ghost, a lot of things, you know, worldly appearance, everything will drop.
Mm.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He will lead you to who you will marry.
Amen.
And even then, we are not saying that you must marry from Bride Assembly Church. Your wife can come from anywhere.
Yes, sir.
But make sure you don't compromise your faith.
Amen.
Because eventually, you'll be a victim of that decision.
Mm.
When you can't flow in the Spirit, no peace anymore.
Mm.
Don't go and marry somebody who does not believe, you know, your faith.
Mm.
So that you can flow together spiritually.
Amen. All right, God bless you, sir. God bless you. I think that's a food for thought for the singles. All right, Brother Abraham from Delta State. Brother Abraham, God bless you. And please go on with your question, Brother Abraham.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom, Abraham.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Please, I want to know if according to what the Bible says, that blood, can Christians donate blood?
There's nothing wrong. You say bad blood? What is bad blood? I don't understand.
I didn't say bad blood, though. I said, can Christian donate blood?
Donate blood.
There's nothing wrong with it. It is to save life. Brother Abraham, okay, if you're watching me, Brother Abraham, I believe you're listening to me. And Christians generally, there is nothing wrong about you donating your blood to save somebody's life.
Mm.
Christ donated his blood to save our life.
Mm.
You say that's spiritual. Yes, we physically too. You can also donate your life. Donate your blood to save someone. Donate your kidney to save someone.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with it. It is to save lives.
Mm.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Abraham, and God bless you. Okay, we have this question that's coming in. Say, good evening, sir. I want to thank God for your life. I have a question. I have secretly done my water baptism when I had your teaching. My husband, on the other hand, have corrected his after your teaching. Now he's telling me to go and correct my own. I don't know how to tell him I have done mine, being that I did it during my maternity leave when they went to headquarters for combined service. Okay? I don't know how you would say it, though. My husband is not listening, but always does when he's available. I'm feeling insincere because I'm teaching in a church where there are men, and anytime I tell my husband it's not supposed to be, he will say, since there's nobody to do it, I should be doing it. But I'm not comfortable with it. What do I do? I really want to thank God for your life because my husband has really changed and is planning to leave the denomination because of your teaching. Thanks and God bless you, Sister Felicia from Abidjan.
Sister Felicia from Abidjan, now that your husband has corrected it, approach him and say, honey, I'm celebrating you. I was scared of what you feel when I tell you I'll go and baptize. I have already done my baptism. I did it secretly.
Mm.
He will be happy you have done it. He will be happy. Say, I've seen this thing. Let's not joke with our spiritual life, eternal destination. I have done it. And he'll be happy that you have done it and that you had respect for him. As you didn't want to offend him. You didn't want it to cause fight. That's why you went to do it. It is not going to fornicate. And it is obedience to the word of God. And he will be happy you have done it. He's telling you to go and do it. That means he sees nothing wrong for you to have done it. For you to do it. And what's the other part of that question?
Talking about ministry, where men are. The husband is saying, since that she's the capable hand, that she should continue, since they are still in the denomination.
Well, I can see the sincerity of your husband. You know, sometimes, you know, send me a text and I need to talk to your husband personally. It is a test of sincerity.
Yeah.
It is a test of his sincerity. He's having problem with leaving. He's planning to leave. Okay. Fire is coming to Sodom. The angel said, get out fast. You are still there saying, what will happen? What do you? He said, remember Lot's wife. So my sister, I pray that, you know, you go and meet the pastor. I don't know if he's the pastor.
He seems he's the pastor.
Okay, maybe he's the pastor.
He's the pastor. So he's the she's pastor. Taking him,
yes. Tell him that you spoke to me. And I said that is a spirit of compromise. And a Christian, a true Christian, does not compromise. Mm. Always remember that no man can take you to heaven. Amen. And no man can stop you from going to heaven. Amen. There is already a man that God has given us to show us the way. Who boasted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh to the Father except by me.
Amen.
Any other thing is just denominational indoctrination. People are serving church and thinking they are serving God. Now that you know the truth, if you didn't know the truth, I think there is a scripture like that. Those who know the truth, they will have, I mean, those who didn't know, they have few stripes, but those who knew and didn't have, their stripes will be more. Something like that, you know. So you already know the truth. And
I think that's Luke 12:47.
Okay, let's look at it. Luke 12.
Oh, let's start from 46.
Yes.
It says, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him,
uh-huh.
and at an hour when he's not aware, uh-huh. I will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Uh-huh.
And the servant which knew his Lord's will.
Thank you. That is the verse I'm looking for.
And prepared not himself,
uh-huh.
neither did according to his will,
okay.
shall be beaten with many stripes.
But
he that knew not,
yes.
and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes.
Then that statement, that the next statement.
For unto whomsoever much is given.
A revelation is given to you.
Of him shall be much required.
Uh-huh.
To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
Mm-hmm. So I hope you are catching it now. Mm-hmm. You already know the truth. Necessity is placed upon you now to respond. Don't joke with your life. Once you know the truth, get out of that place and move with the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. God bless you, Sister Felicia from Abidjan. All right, we have a question from Zimbabwe. And that's Brother Joshua from Zimbabwe. He says, Shalom, Brother and Pastor Moses Alu and Brother Augustine Mubau. Say Shalom to you. May you shed more light on the revelation that shows that rapture precedes great tribulation. According to Revelation 7, verse 9 and verse 14, talks about all nations, kindreds, and so on. May you shed light also. And does it mean some people from other nations beside Israel, we have to pass through the great tribulation into the kingdom of God?
Revelation 7, verse 9?
Verse 9. And it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people.
And verse 14.
Verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation.
And what is the question?
His question now, does it mean that the rapture precedes the great tribulation?
I'm trying to see his link with that scripture.
That scripture?
The question, how are you linking it with this scripture?
Okay, he is asking, that is the second question.
It talks about all nations, kindreds. May you shed light all.
The question is, does it mean some people from other nations beside Israel will pass through the great tribulation?
That's right. It's Revelation 7, 9 verse 9. 14. Is it about tribulation?
No.
So that's why I say, how does he link it? Maybe there's a mix up somewhere. But the first part of that question says what?
We're talking about whether the great tribulation, does it precede? Okay, the rapture, does it precede the great tribulation rather?
The rapture certainly precedes the great tribulation.
Okay.
It takes place before the tribulation. Because by the time the gospel goes to Israel, and please, the great tribulation is for Israel according to the divine agenda given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 29. Mm-hmm. That covenant they have with the Antichrist is supposed to be for 7 years, and that is the last 1 week of the 70 weeks that was given, prophetic year, that is 7 years.
Yes, yeah.
1 week.
1 week, 7 years.
69 weeks have been settled, remaining 1 week. Between the 69th week and the 70th week is the Gentile period, because they rejected him. Therefore, he suspended the dealing with them to get himself a bride. It is when the bride goes, which is what we see in the third seal of Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 7, then the covenant that the prophet called it the covenant of death, as I call it, the covenant of death, is entered into. So the rapture takes place before the tribulation. The tribulation takes place when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel. And the Bible says it will last for 3.5 years, because he said in the middle of the covenant. And then Revelation chapter 12 lets us know how these Jews, the elect, will escape. So, yes, it precedes the tribulation. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. God bless you. All right, we have more questions coming in. And this says, Shalom, Pastor Moses Alu and Brother Ebuka. We say shalom to you as well. Say, from your teaching about the rapture, you said, according to the Bible, that the bride will not take part in the tribulations of the Antichrist. And I believe that teaching, but I became confused when I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3.
Concerning the coming of our Lord,
will the bride of Christ still be in the world when that scripture is fulfilled?
Let's see what it says. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3.
It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first,
okay,
and a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
The revelation there is that things will happen that we will know him. It says revealed. So we will get to know, oh, this is the man of sin. There'll be things that will happen that we will know that is the man of sin. So what is the question again?
Okay.
I became confused when this happened concerning the coming of our Lord. Will we, the bride of Christ, still be in this world
when that scripture is fulfilled?
We will be in this world, because it will be about that same period that something will happen, we'll leave.
Okay.
The last part of that question,
says, please.
Please,
sir, has Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 27 be fulfilled?
If no,
when will it take place? More grace, more revelation. This is Sister Clara Joseph from Abuja.
Daniel chapter
7, verse 21. And yes. It says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against
which
them.
Which horn? The horn that is in verse 8.
The four beasts there
are the four world empires. What Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel again saw the same thing in another symbol of those beasts. It was described in an image for the Nebuchadnezzar. This time now, it is now given in the form of beasts, but it's a description of the same four world empires, known as the times of the Gentiles. That is the time that is given to the Gentiles to rule this world until the Christ himself will come and knock their kingdoms off and establish his own kingdom here with us, ruling with him. And so, what is the verse is he called?
Verse 22, until the ancients of days came and judgment was
given.
So,
verse 21 and 22.
Yeah. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. And
okay, which horn? The horn I said again, in verse 8.
I consider the horns, and behold,
there came up among them another little horn, uh-huh. before whom
there were ten horns mm-hmm. that he saw. Mm-hmm. But there came up among them one other little horn, mm-hmm. and these horns are powers. Mm-hmm. These horns are kings, mm-hmm. powers. And before this small horn, there were three of the first
horns
plucked up by the roots, by this small horn. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, mm-hmm. and a mouth speaking great things. Then, verse 20.
Verse 20. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the order which came up, and before whom three fell,
yes.
even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that speak very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them.
So that is the tribulation,
yes.
the Antichrist. Mm. That little horn is that 11th horn. Mm. that it is today we know as the Vatican City. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Okay, and verse 22,
see that fulfilled, in Revelation chapter 12,
yeah.
and Revelation chapter 13, mm-hmm. they are all there, okay?
Verse 22, until the ancients of days came and judgment was given to the
that
saints
of the Most High.
That
is when he will be coming for the millennium mm-hmm. and knock off that kingdom mm-hmm. and then establish his kingdom. Sister Clara
from Abuja, God bless you. All right, so we have other questions coming in, and this is from Enugu State, Nigeria. Brother Sydney, Chidozie Sydney from Enugu State, Nigeria says, good evening, sir. Pastor, why does pattern continues over people that believes in Christ Jesus, even when they are rebirth and regenerated? E.g., in a family, they might be known for not marrying on time.
Not getting married on time.
And this is Brad Chidozie from Enugu State.
Well, it is not so with all Christians.
Okay.
Maybe there are cases. The power, that is where we need revelation of what happened on the cross on Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Or whom the Son of Man has set free is free yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
But ye shall know the truth, and it's the truth that you know that shall make you free.
Yeah.
So knowledge is important. What is the knowledge? When you come to Christ, in Hebrews chapter 12, he said from verse 22, he said, you have come to Mount Zion. And we know that upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Mm. And the Bible tells us that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. The violent take it by force. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That is, possess your possession. Claim it that you cannot be in bondage again. That is where deliverance prayers comes in. Christ didn't say we will not fall sick. You can as well ask. When the Bible says by the stripes of Jesus Christ we are healed, why are we still falling sick?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still having accidents even after we have prayed?
Mm-hmm.
Why a calamity is coming upon us? So many different reasons and answers too for such.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly is that you must enforce your freedom. And mm-hmm. that is why we pray without ceasing. Go for deliverance. And that nonsense will be broken.
Mm-hmm.
As you come under the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, you come under a covenant that is higher than the covenant that is holding you. Mm-hmm. That knowledge is what propels you to possess your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So go for deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless you.
All right. So question. Okay, we have a call. And this is Sister Rosemary from Scotland. Sister Rosemary, God bless you and shalom.
Shalom, brother.
God bless you.
Shalom.
Shalom, Pastor Moses.
Shalom, my sister from Scotland. What part of Scotland?
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, I am being disturbed since Saturday morning.
Okay.
I work in a health setup, and I was not supposed to work on Saturday. Okay. But because they don't have much people, they call me in to work on Saturday. So I could not connect to the all night. So as I woke up to take my bag to prepare for work that Saturday morning, I had a voice that said, "You are not sincere. You were saying yesterday that you will connect to the all night, that you must join the all night. Now you did not go to all, you did not join the all night. Now you want to go to work. You are not sincere." So I was like, I've discussed this on Saturday. I said, "No, let me ask. Have I seen or I don't know. I am disturbed with him."
That is God's own way. That's God's own way of calling your attention to the fact that whatever you say, maintain your integrity, uphold, be sincere, be truthful to yourself. Now, you said, now you were supposed to connect and be part of the vigil, but
yes,
you now
Pastor.
Had a need. Was it in your power to stop? Could you have complained that you cannot make it? Was it possible?
I was not supposed to work that Saturday, but because they don't have much people to work for them.
Did they force you to go?
Not force.
You went.
Not force.
You went that Saturday because you make more money, isn't it?
Not really. Not really, Pastor. Because it's not because of the money. I said, if I don't go now, because I have been away from 6 months from work, and they just call me here for me to begin the excuse. You know, I was just in between.
Yes, but it's okay. It is just God's own way of warning you that, it is just a warning. You have not committed sin. It's just calling your attention. Remember that we preached recently about the test of sincerity.
That was
so God is trying to
stop.
God is expanding that message for you. Okay, so you have not seen, it's just calling your attention.
Okay,
so that
Pastor,
you, what you say, keep to it.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Shalom.
God bless
Shalom.
You. Shalom.
Shalom.
Please send me a text so that I can have your number.
I will.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, Sister Rose. God bless you, everyone. Okay. We know a lot of people want to take a glass of water and we need to rest a bit. Don't worry. We're going to go on a very short break. And when we are back, we shall continue. It still acts a pastor. God bless you.